You know, biblical literacy is an issue that we're all concerned about. How well do our kids really know the Bible? Well, Explore the Bible Kids provides book-by-book studies that take your kids through the whole Bible in a way that will deepen their Bible knowledge. You can preview 4 weeks of Explore the Bible Kids at lifeway.com/explorethebible. And remember to join us in Nashville for the Etch Family Ministry Conference this October. If you only go to one conference this year, it needs to be this one. Be sure to register quickly, however, because rates will go up after May 31st. You can find out all the details and reserve your spot at etchconference.com. And now, our episode. Hey, listeners, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. We are here today talking with my special guest, Jana Magruder, Director of Lifeway Kids. Hi, Jana.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We are talking about essentials for a healthy ministry. And now we at Lifeway Kids have identified three essentials that we like to lead with: kingdom expanding, heart transforming, and culture shaping, and that those things as a philosophy are the foundation upon which a healthy ministry could and should be built. Jana has a new book out, Kids Ministry That Nourishes.
Yeah, the reason why it's called Kids Ministry That Nourishes is because we actually talk about the essentials as essential nutrients of a healthy kids ministry. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, the word nutrients is really, you were deliberate in choosing that word.
Sure.
And it's not about snacks, you always say, right?
Correct. So even though the cover art has a refreshing glass of water with a straw, it's not about that kind of nourishment. It is truly about the nourishment of the heart, and so and of really a whole ministry. And so we use the word nutrient to describe what you should have in your ministry. So these are the non-negotiables, is like what I usually call them.
So let's talk about that word nutrients. Yeah. So you chose that word carefully because a nutrient is not something that your body can make on its own, right?
Correct. If you look up the definition of an essential nutrient, they actually use both words together. And for all of you nutrition majors out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. An essential nutrient, by definition, is something that the body must have but cannot make on its own. And so that's why it takes the right kinds of food to thrive in our bodies. Same goes, so it's used as an analogy in the book for our hearts and our ministries. And so this is just identifying the essential nutrients of what a healthy ministry looks like. And so I like to illustrate that with what are the open-handed things in your ministry and what are the closed-handed things in your ministry. So the non-negotiables, that is your essential nutrient, the closed-handed things that you know you must have.
And so those three essentials that we talk about, or essential nutrients, are that your ministry be kingdom expanding in nature, as opposed to
ministry building, which we all fall into that habit sometimes.
Yes.
If we're honest.
We can be more focused on ourselves and our church and our program.
Correct.
And possibly miss the kingdom view.
Correct.
So the first is kingdom expanding. The next is heart transforming, right? That another essential nutrient is that your ministry be about the heart as opposed to?
As opposed to behavior modification, which is another thing that we as people who work with kids, and for those of you who are parents out there also, I know as a parent and as a ministry leader, I have fallen trapped to behavior modification so many times.
Which is do what's right or
obey.
Just do what's good.
Right? Please
do what
obey
I want
me
you to.
Now, the first time.
Right.
Yes.
Be out of obedience as opposed to doing that out of a changed heart.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back to that.
Yes.
And then the third is culture shaping. And at the end of the day, we want our kids to be shapers of our culture as opposed to?
As opposed to being shaped by this dark culture that our kids will be inheriting very soon.
Yeah, and that's a risk that all of our kids face, is the fact that our culture so badly wants to shape who we are and how we think and what our worldview is. And so we in kids ministry need to know that and function in a way that's counterculture.
Absolutely. It's a very urgent call. So culture shaping is important.
So with these three essentials that Jana has written about in her book, we cannot cover all three in one episode. So we're dedicating the next three episodes, this episode and the next two of the podcast, to talking about these three essentials. essentials in depth. And so we're going to start today by talking about a kingdom expanding kids ministry. So, Jana, what are some practical examples of a kids ministry that is kingdom focused?
Well, a kids ministry that is kingdom focused really begins with your own heart. And so we know that burnout is a huge thing that ministry leaders in general deal with. And so if our hearts are not truly transformed and are not Sabbathing, and I use that as a verb, not a noun. If we talk about Sabbath as a noun, we automatically think of Sundays, which for us as ministry leaders, especially children's ministry leaders,
it's not a day of rest for us.
It's not a day of rest. It is a go day for us. Yeah. And we're lucky or blessed if we get to hop into the back of the end of a service or something like that. But it is certainly not the time for us to sit quietly before the Lord and refresh our souls.
So not the Sabbath day, but the principle of keeping us a Sabbath.
Correct.
Sabbathing, as you put it.
Sabbathing, yes.
Is important.
Right. You will get auto-corrected if you try to use that as a verb. But Sabbath practice is kind of what I like to call it. And I think it's essential to have that built into your week. And so some of us may get an extra day during the week because Sundays is considered a work day. Some of us don't. And if you don't, I encourage you to find half of a Saturday or a special evening that you've carved out on the calendar and that you've kept and that you have also informed other people that you live with or who you are close to that is protected time as well, which is so hard to do, I realize. But the temptation is to fill up any extra time that we have, even if we have that day off during the week, with errands and housework and all the things that we need to do, not things that give us replenishment and refreshment in our hearts and our spirits. And so the encouragement to looking at kingdom expanding as an essential nutrient in your ministry is that it would begin in your own heart, and that begins with Sabbath.
And that's really kind of a unique distinctive of this particular essential, is that it kind of starts with you.
Yes, right? which is counterintuitive for us in ministry.
Yes, right. Yeah. But whether or not our ministry is kingdom focused as opposed to program focused, church focused, numbers oriented, whatever that might be, those tend to be self-inflicted goals that we have, or things that we bring, as opposed to keeping that mindset that this is really a part of our ministry is part of the bigger thing that God is doing in the kingdom.
Right.
Well, okay. So now this affects us. It also affects our volunteers and the way that we lead them. So how does a kingdom expanding point of view affect the way that we lead our volunteers?
Yeah. So once you have yourself dealt with in terms of staying Sabbathed up, staying in the Word and staying rooted in Scripture, you are able to cast this kind of mindset to a leadership team or a set of volunteers that you work with, your parents that surround you, and you're much more ready to cast the kind of vision that it takes to lead a kingdom-expanding ministry when you are, again, healthy yourself. And so it's important as you're doing volunteer recruitment, which we know when Chuck, you and I talk to churches all the time. We know that the number one pain point in children's ministry specifically is volunteer recruitment.
Recruiting and retaining.
And retaining.
Volunteers, yeah.
Absolutely. And so many times we need to ask in a different way. First of all, I'm a big believer in a one-on-one ask, as opposed to all the different things that, me included, have tried, getting the pastor to make one more announcement from the stage about needing more children's volunteers. And we're in VBS season right now, and I know that people are recruiting VBS volunteers. And really, that one-on-one ask is so much more effective. And here's why. Because you have the ability to cast that kind of kingdom expanding vision that you've bought into to the people that you're asking. And they're going to be much more ready to say yes than to just a general bulletin announcement or, you know, I've done things like flyer the bathroom stalls in a desperate moment. need more volunteers. So the one-on-one ask and really being able to articulate what we're going to do together. Here's what we're going to do together. We're going to expand God's kingdom.
And when we can lead with a why, when we have a good reason of why we're doing this, we all know really very quickly and clearly when we do ministry, at what times, we know what we're going to teach most of the time, right? We better. But that why, when we get to recruit people, what are we all about? And why do we put our energy into this week in and week out? It's not childcare. There's real ministry that's happening.
Right.
And when we can focus that on what is happening that's affecting eternity, it becomes really a compelling reason to join up with your ministry.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, how can we go about vision casting for a kingdom expanding ministry? So, well, let's back up for a second. How can I evaluate my ministry to know how I'm doing in this area? You know, so I think we all believe that we are kingdom expanding focused leaders,
right?
But maybe we could be more so,
right?
Or maybe we're missing the boat a little bit. Is there kind of a litmus test you can give? What should we look at to evaluate if we're hitting the mark or if we need to make an adjustment?
Well, we always like to contrast these essentials with what they're not supposed to be. So the opposite of a kingdom expanding ministry would be a ministry building focused ministry. And so there's a fine line there, because we do want our ministries to grow in God's timing and in God's way, but we can sometimes get those things out of order. So we focus on, for example, I use this example on myself. I always tell this on myself. When I first got into ministry, my biggest goal was to build and put on the biggest and best VBS that my community had ever seen. And that was my goal. That was kind of what got me up in the morning. That's what kind of helped me keep going. And it was really an okay goal, because at the end of that was, you know, a VBS well done means more souls for the kingdom,
yes.
Right? So it is kingdom expanding.
Right, God redeems that.
However, I had that kind of out of order. Mm-hmm. And so I was focused on bigger and better and really kind of what could I bring to the table, instead of putting the kingdom expanding mindset in place first, energizing my volunteers, and then together building that ministry.
And I think a lot of us, just by nature, when we're functioning, you know, as driven people in a culture that, you know, the Western culture that winning and being bigger, better, faster, stronger,
competitive,
is what we're driven to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're competitors. It's very easy to lead in our ministries from that same mindset. And this essential kind of points out that's not how it's intended to be.
Right. Kingdom expanding is a lot about servant leadership. I like to talk about that too as well in this essential nutrient, because we know as children's ministers, there's so many tasks and things that we do that go unseen. And if we are not, again, going back to what our heart condition is, if we are not spending time with the Lord and knowing why we're doing ministry, that big why that you said, then we're going to get maybe a little bit resentful about doing tiny little things like filling goldfish cups up, you know, or Dixie cups up with goldfish, or even making the errands every week that we go to, sorting crafts. I used to, in the book I talk about, I used to have to sweep crickets off of the choir room floor because we had a cricket epidemic one summer. And I had to do that before my volunteers got there, because I wanted to honor their time, and they were there to set up tables and put out crafts and things like that. So I got grumbly sometimes if my heart wasn't right, because I didn't want to have to sweep up the stinky old crickets. But if our hearts are right and we're reminding ourselves of that big why, of we're doing this to expand God's kingdom, then the tiny little tasks aren't going to get under our skin like they sometimes do.
Yeah.
Servant leadership. Others will notice that too. If you lead with a servant heart, it's contagious.
It is contagious. And that's the best way to build your culture,
yeah,
right? Because I think
the
answer would be not just that kingdom expanding is a mindset that you have, but it becomes a pervasive culture in your church and in your ministry.
Yes.
Well, how do you make that move? So we've talked some philosophy, right? So I might buy into this philosophically. Yes, we need to be about the kingdom. Yes. How does philosophy turn into strategy? How do we take that philosophy and make it practical and actionable and applicable in the real world?
I think communication with your leadership team and your volunteers is important. And then the other audience I would put in there, notice none of this is kids yet. We're going to get to kids once we get our own hearts right. So it starts with you. That trickles down to who you've recruited to lead under you, and then who they've recruited to volunteer with them. And then eventually that gets to the parents. And so you want to be able to communicate and articulate a kingdom expanding mindset to those around you who lead with you, but also to the parents, because we want this to be contagious as well to them. So any chance that you're able to have those congregations in front of you, whether it's at a lunch, at a coffee, at a parent-child dedication, anytime that you're with adults, you're able to have even an elevator conversation about what it means to be in a kingdom-expanding children's ministry. And that has to do with, number one, we talk about this all the time, the urgency of children's ministry, and how we know that by the time a child is age 12, their religious belief system,
their worldview is set.
Not that the Holy Spirit can't do things in his own timing after age 12. We're not saying that, but this is statistical research. And so we need to be able to cast that vision and have our parents on board with us, our volunteers on board with us, our leadership team, the staff table that you sit at. You need to be able to conversantly talk about this to them. And that takes a little bit of leading up, if you will. And you have to be prayerful about how you do that. But this is a great place where everyone can agree, yes, expanding God's kingdom.
And one of the things that we make a point of in talking about these essentials is that they're not unique to kids' ministry. You mentioned at that staff table.
Right.
One of the best ways that you as a church can serve families is for you and your student team and adult teams to all agree on these essentials. And if your student ministry also can buy into this idea of, you're right, we do need to be about expanding the kingdom, and that's really where we start, and you can start there together. It does a lot to help get us out of our silos and to collaborate better.
Absolutely. In fact, my colleague here at Lifeway, Ben Trueblood, wrote a book called Student Ministry That Matters, which is also centered around three essentials. I think he calls them his elements. So same thing. We know that in student ministry, you have to have the same kind of mindset. And so if you can begin to speak the same language as a staff team, then like you said, you used my favorite illustration for it, is the ministry silos start to come down when you have the same approach to ministry. And so I think that's a great place to have those conversations, is at the leadership table.
And one of the easiest ways to start is to begin internalizing this, personalizing this idea of that kingdom expanding mindset,
right,
and then starting to use that terminology, starting to have conversations where you begin to talk about this being bigger than just our church. This is about the kingdom.
Right.
And once you get that going, people will pick up on it. Like you said, it's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us a bit about the book. So you write in depth about kingdom expanding focus on ministry in your book. Tell us where we can find the book and what else we'll find in it.
Okay, well, you can find the book at lifeway.com or amazon.com. Those two places are the easiest to grab a copy. It is written with volunteer teams in mind. So I'd love for you to read it first and then decide, how could you use this with your volunteers? How could you help them get on the same page with you? So there are questions at the end of each chapter that can be used kind of like book club discussion questions. And first of all, you need to know that this is a really quick read. It is not a heavy, full, you know, dedicate a whole summer to it. So no one should be intimidated by it. If you did give it to a volunteer, they could read it quickly. And especially if you broke that up into the three essentials, you could have three sessions together.
And it's an easy read. It's an enjoyable read. And so as you get into this, you find that you move through this book really quickly because you want to keep turning the pages, because it's very real, you know, to those of us serving in kids ministry, very relatable. And what a great way to begin those conversations. You can use this book as an on-ramp. It's also affordable, so it's not an expensive book, but you can use this as an on-ramp for those discussions with your team and begin to lead towards kingdom expanding.
Absolutely.
Well, Jenna, thank you. Thanks for talking about this with us. And listener, thank you for listening. We'll be back next time with the second episode in our Three Essential Nutrients series with Jenna Magruder in another week's time. And we'll see you then.
See you then.